Would you please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 through 17? And while you're turning there, I would like you to listen to a verse as I read it this morning. So turn and listen at the same time. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray, Lord, that your word would have an impact upon each one here, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to talk to you today about the kingdom of your influence. In fact, I had the opportunity to preach this message already once this week, not to a group of people, but to an individual. The person was down, you know how we all are, said to me, "You know, I never accomplished anything in life except for one thing, and that was to get a sign changed." And he said, "I really didn't do that, my wife did." And I knew this person a little bit, so I was able to show them how they had influenced others, ways that I knew that they had influenced others. So today, the kingdom of your influence. God was giving me insights. Even this morning, I was working on this, so I'm excited to share with you some of the things that I have learned. But before we get into the message this morning, I would like to start a story. I would like to relate a story. I will finish this story at the end of the message. It's a story that Pastor Jack Hiles wrote. He said, "Years ago, I was a paratrooper in World War II. I was in the 82nd Airborne Division in the Parachute Maintenance Company. We jumped, but we also packed the parachutes for the entire division. They had a big airplane hangar with long tables, much like a banquet hall. Each of us had a table where we packed a parachute. We hooked the top of the chute at one end of the table, hooked the base of the chute to the other end of the table, and packed the parachute. Once the parachute was packed, just inside there was a little packet that held a logbook. In that logbook, after we packed the chute, we signed our name and date we packed it. Don't you know that we packed it carefully? We got word that the Mexican consul was coming up to visit America and we were going to jump. He wanted to watch us all jump. Captain Fuller, captain of our parachute maintenance company, the riggers, said, 'Men, we have to pack 10,000 parachutes in just a few days. We'll have to work 16 hours a day.' We worked and we worked and we worked. And every time we packed a chute, we pulled that little logbook out and wrote our name as the one who packed the chute. It came time. The Mexican consul arrived, and we jumped first, as the parachute maintenance company always did, so that we could be on the field to pick the parachutes up of those who jumped after us. On one side of me was an 18-year-old named Allie. He had the table beside me on one side. On the other side of me was a young man named Collinsworth. We jumped first, and we were on the field watching the others jump. There is nothing quite like it as you watch them jump out of a plane. Thousands of chutes open and just fill the sky all at once. We were watching the chutes come out and the men counting. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And then they pulled the cord and the chute would fly open. It's a beautiful sight. But tragedy struck. One paratrooper jumped. Everyone counted. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. But the chute didn't open. Allie, Collinsworth, look, his chute isn't opening. He's having a streamer. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, none of us liveth to himself, and none of us dieth to himself. Influence. Influence is the word of this message today. That word doesn't occur in your Bible. Instead, God uses another word. He uses the word rule. That word occurs 247 times in the Bible. Today I would like to give some thoughts to you about the kingdom of your influence. The first thought is this. Your sphere of influence, biblically speaking, is the kingdom over which you rule. Your sphere of influence, speaking from a Bible standpoint this morning, is the kingdom over which you rule. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, a man's home is his castle? Of course, we've all heard that, haven't we? Your castle, however, is just the beginning. Your sphere of influence begins within the walls of the castle of your home, but it extends far beyond even what you think. In the passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we find that word measure mentioned a few times. One of the Greek words, there's actually two for measure, one of the Greek words means to stretch beyond. The other is always a definite measure. It means a portion that is measured off. It means a definitely bounded or fixed space within the limits of one which one's power of influence is confined. Or it can mean the province assigned to someone. God has given us definite boundaries of rule, definite places of influence. And then if you notice there, Paul used the word distributed in verse 13. Distributed means divided up. Everybody in this room has a different boundary, a different province, a different kingdom of influence, if you will. Each of us has a place and people over whom God has given us influence. Everyone. Everyone here today has people that God has given you to influence. God distributed that to you. And Paul says to the church of Corinth, the measure of influence that God gave me includes you. Now, some of them didn't like it, but Paul says, whether you like it or not, the kingdom of influence that God distributed to me includes you. Number two, God is the one who gives each person their kingdom. God is the one who gives each person their kingdom. Turn, if you would, to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. I'm going to pull out quite a few verses here from the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25. This is Daniel speaking. He says, they that shall drive thee from men, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. He's talking about the king here, king of Babylon. Because he didn't worship the true God and give him glory, and his heart was lifted up with pride, Daniel says, you're going to become like a wild animal, and you're going to go around and you're going to graze on grass. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee. 7 years he would do this. He'd be like, in fact, his fingers would grow like claws. And this would happen, notice this last part of this verse, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. We find a similar verse in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 21. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth it over whomsoever he will. Everybody needs to know this. Everybody needs to understand it. The kingdom of man is always under the kingdom of God. The kingdom of man is here, but the kingdom of God is over the kingdom of man. The kingdom of man is always under the kingdom of God. God is always in control. It may not seem like that at times, but that's the truth. God is always in control. He gives you your sphere of influence that He wants you to have and what He wants you to rule over. That's been given to you by God. The next verse, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 26, "And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule." Now look back to verse 17, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. "This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." Even the wicked are set up by God. And then Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "And He changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings." God removes people from power and is the one who puts people in power. But a lot of what God has to do hinges, depends on what people do. I really think that God gives people a leadership whom they deserve or who they need. And for that reason, we are to pray for our leaders. Pray for them. The kingdom of your influence is like a rock that's dropped in a lake. You ever done that? Like the water, those like the water closest to the rock are greatly affected. The people that are closest to you are most affected by your rule and by your influence. But when you drop that rock in the lake, the ripples keep going, don't they? The ripple effect. You watch the ripples after the rock drops, and you'll see a big splash where the rock first drops in, but then you'll see those ripples going out and out and out. And you can watch those ripples, and depending upon the size of the rock and the force by which it was dropped, those ripples might go out 20, 30, 40, 50, even 100 feet or more. Your kingdom of influence is like that. Those closest to you are most greatly affected by you, but others are affected either directly or indirectly by your influence in this life. You affected people this week that you didn't even know you affected. You had influence over people this week you didn't even know you had influence over. You had an impact on people this week you didn't know that you had an impact on. And you influence people directly or indirectly in this life and after this life is over. That influence just keeps going on and on and on and on. Think of the way that you have been influenced. In the past few days, you have been influenced by writers of newspapers that you have read. Or you have been influenced by authors of books that you have read. You may have been influenced by movie stars or radio commentators. You have been influenced by friends and teachers. You right now are being influenced by the people sitting near you. They have some influence upon you. I've seen people as I've preached from time to time, and I think I got their attention, and the person next to them will nudge them. And where does their attention go? Who has the stronger influence? It's not always the pastor. It may be the one sitting next to them. And so you have to be careful, even in church, your influence. Even this preacher is having influence on you, some influence on you today. You've been influenced by family members. We have been influenced by all kinds of people and things. I believe he was the youngest governor Minnesota ever had, John A. Johnson. He said, "The man who influenced my career more than any other lived in our little hometown. He lent me the right books. He taught me what to read and how. Much of what I am, I owe to that man and those books." Number three, you cannot walk away from the kingdom of your influence. You cannot walk away from the kingdom of your influence. You just can't walk away and leave your castle. For none of us liveth to himself. When God gives you a kingdom to rule, the responsibility that goes with that authority is yours, whether you like it or not. You have an influence that cannot be shaken off. You know, I've actually heard some parents say, not here, but I've heard parents say, "We will not influence our children in making decisions in the matter of religion. Well, why not? The TV and the radio will. The media will. The movies will. Their friends will. You know, we use our influence over flowers and vegetables and cattle. Shouldn't we ignore our children? You say, but my influence is really just so small. I want to give you a thought. Remember, a little lantern can do what a great sun can never do. It can shine in the dark. Nobody's influence is small. Nobody's influence is insignificant. You say, but I just don't mean much. To the world, you might be one person. But to one person, you might be the world. To the world, yes, you might just be one person. A nobody. But to some person, you might be the world. Who is that person? Who is that person that you are influencing? Who is that person that admires you? Who is the person that wants to be like you? You know, we have all these movie stars and athletes. They say, I just want to live my life. I don't want to be a role model for anybody. They influence people whether they want to or not. I remember just being so humbled one day in high school when a little kid walked up to me and they called me Stretch, because that was my basketball nickname, and said, Stretch, I want to be just like you when I grow up. We influence people whether we want to or not. What is influence anyway? It is the known or unknown power, authority, and rule that you exercise over others. In Burma, several years ago, a lady who once had the power and authority of rule in that country had left that country but had come back. She was out in public making a speech when she was surrounded by a force of men with guns. They had their guns pointed right at her. Everyone thought, surely they are going to kill her. But she walked right up. She stood there. She gave her speech. She spoke a while. She looked at those soldiers. They had killed others. But she walked right up to them and she turned their guns away and walked right on past them. That was influence. Do you know that Jesus did the very same thing? There was a crowd gathering. They were thinking about killing him. But it wasn't the appointed time, and Jesus walked right through their midst. They just parted and they let him go. That was the power of his rule. That was the power of his influence. Let's say you're going to sit down and do nothing so that you won't have any influence. Do you know that your decision to do nothing will become a powerful influence? Think of the times you've heard stories where a father or mother just leaves home. The absence of influence becomes in itself a powerful influence. I just want to encourage you. You influence people. You influence your children, not just by the words, but by your actions. And that's why you need to be faithful to God. If you want your children to go to church, then you have to go to church. You have to set an example. It's your influence. None of us lives to himself. No man dies to himself. You just can't turn your influence on and off like a light switch. You will carry your influence. Your actions influence others. Your decisions influence those around you. The words you speak influence those around you. The expression even on your face influences others. I remember talking to a couple one time, witnessing to them. And I was thinking that maybe one of them might be convinced. I might be able to get one of them saved. And he looked at the other person, and the expression on that other person's face was enough to influence that one to not receive Christ. Number four, we should seek for our influence to be powerfully positive. Seek for our influence to be powerfully positive. We have a choice to have our influence be negative or positive, detrimental or helpful. A way that I really need to work on, but is a very powerful way to influence people, is by praising them. Especially parents, if you praise your children, you'll gain your children's hearts. If you don't praise them and their friends do, their friends will gain their hearts. Praise is a powerful way to influence people. It can be manipulative, however, and you have to be careful. Books have a powerful influence. Benjamin Franklin said that the reading of Cotton Mather's essay on doing good molded his entire life. The assassin of Lord Russell declared that he was led into crime by reading one, just one, vicious romance. Now, do you know how long the kingdom of your influence will continue? 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." The kingdom of your influence will continue until God himself stops it by taking the rule himself. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Now, salt is not just positive. Salt is powerfully positive. Salt will melt ice. We've got a chance to witness that recently, right? With the ice storms, you put salt down there on the pavement and the sun with, combined with the salt will melt the ice. Salt will give flavor to food. In fact, some food isn't even good if you don't have a little bit of salt on it. Salt will spread, will stop the spread of bacteria. A pastor was visiting a home where the children were homeschooled. The oldest boy said, "Pastor, do you want to know what I've learned?" "Sure," said the pastor. The little boy went over to the light switch and turned it on and said, "Jesus is the light of the world." The pastor said, "That's great, son." The second oldest boy said, "Pastor, can I show you what I learned?" The pastor said, "Sure, son." He said, "Jesus is the salt of the earth," and he poured a little salt from the salt shaker into the pastor's hand. The youngest boy went to the fridge, got an egg, cracked it over the pastor's head. Pastor said, "What's that?" The boy said, "Take my yoke upon you." Let's get back to salt. Salt stops the spread of bacteria. You can do a science experiment. You get a petri dish, put some bacteria in it, and it will grow. What's interesting is they call it a culture. Isn't it interesting that we human beings live in a culture? And the bacteria of moral perversity and dishonesty and false philosophy surround us. Now what happens when you put salt in a petri dish? The bacteria growth is halted. When you put Christians as salt into a culture that is morally perverse, the Christian is the salt that stops the bacteria, the bacterial growth in that culture. Now, who can answer this question? Where does bacteria grow best? Does it grow best in the dark, in a closet, or in sunlight? In the dark. Light retards the growth of bacteria. We are not only salt, but we are light. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." The best preaching in any city should not be the preaching done in the pulpit, but by the living done by the people in the pews. Picture is worth a thousand words, but a life is worth a thousand pictures. Remember the story of the rich man in hell? He asked Abraham if they could send back Lazarus to preach to his brothers. He was probably the eldest brother with five younger brothers about to follow him to hell. They had listened to him. He had influenced them, and the kingdom of influence was continuing even after he died. And he could see those brothers following him to hell. My guess is that they did. And one of his torments for all of eternity would be constantly remembering that he influenced his brothers to go to hell. He could not stop the kingdom of his influence. Even after he was dead and gone, his influence continued. Remember what Abraham told him? He told him that that his brothers had Moses and the prophets, and that if they didn't listen to them, they wouldn't listen even if somebody came back from the dead. Listen, your influence on certain people is stronger than if somebody rose from the dead and walked in and tried to talk to them. Would you look around at the people in this room? Do that. Just a minute. Look around at the people in this room. Would you think about the people in your family? Think about the people in your family. Think about the people that you work with. Think about your friends. That is only a part of the kingdom of your influence. In Numbers 13 and 14, we talked about that story in Sunday school today, about the spies who were sent out to spy the promised land. 10 of them came back and gave a negative report concerning the promised land. Only 2 gave a good report, and the influence of those 10 eventually cost the lives of close to 1 million people. 1 million people didn't enter into the promised land, but wandered in the wilderness until they died off. Mark chapter 15, verse 7 through 11 says, "And there was one man named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in their insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" He's got a choice here. Should I release Jesus, the King of the Jews, or should I release unto you Barabbas, the murderer and the thief? Verse 10 says, "For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him, had delivered Jesus for envy." Verse 11 says, "But the chief priests moved the people." They moved the people, they influenced the people so that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And so he released Barabbas and he sent Jesus to be crucified. Influence. Influence. Grandparents have a powerful influence. Ladies have a powerful influence. It's seen in the Bible both positively and negatively. The Shunammite woman, Esther, Abigail, and others are examples of powerful, positive influences. But Jezebel and Herodias had negative influences. Number 5, guard yourself against wrong influences, especially from good sources. Guard yourself against wrong influences, especially from good sources. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." So guard yourself against those that influence, especially those, you know, that we trust. Because even though we trust, we can all make mistakes. We're human. We have feet of clay. And we could influence somebody to make a wrong decision. Number 6, don't weaken positive influences on your life. Don't weaken positive influences on your life. This can be done a couple of different ways. It can be done by mocking those who try to influence you for right. It can be done by keeping company with those who are weak instead of strong. In fact, I'm going to be preaching on these points in weeks coming up. So I'm just going to move right ahead to number 7. Plan your life so as to continue your influence powerfully positive after you are gone. Plan your life so as to continue your influence to be positively powerful, powerfully positive after you are gone. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 12, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundations of many godly generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Build a foundation so that the next generation is affected positively, and the next generation is affected positively, and the next generation is affected positively. God wants to do that. He wants to show mercy into thousands of generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let's stop. Let's pause right here. Stop and say to yourself, where is my influence right now? Where is my influence? Who do I have influence over? How am I influencing them? Where is my influence right now? I began with a story. They saw a man jump. They began to count. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And they saw a streamer fly up. What's a streamer? When the suspension line is wrapped around in silk so that air cannot get into the parachute. It was sure death. Look, his chute isn't opening. He's having a streamer. We watched that body fall past those open chutes to his death. and rushed as quickly as we could with only one thing in mind. Whose name is in the logbook? Who was the one who packed the parachute? We had 240 men who packed the chutes. Each of us had one chance in 240. Whose name is in the logbook? We rushed over and his body was just ripped into pieces, flesh and blood all mixed together. General James Gavin, one of the commanding officers, was already there. General Gavin, sir, Private Jack Hiles, Parachute Maintenance Company, Private Collingsworth, Private Alley. The three of us, watching that dead body as General Gavin touched him. Sir, would you please let us look at the logbook? General Gavin took that parachute canvas up and shook it. He reached inside the book and read the name of the man who packed the chute. Collingsworth. Dr. Hiles said, I saw that boy jump as high as a boy could jump. And he began to scream with all that was within him. Oh, my God, I wish I had been more careful. My God, I wish I had been more careful. He took one last look at that corpse and he raced as fast as he could across the field to his barracks. And all the way to the barracks, he could be heard screaming, my God, I wish I'd been more careful. I wish I'd been more careful. Dr. Jack Hiles said, far into the night, this young boy's bed was just a few bunks down from his. Far into the night, he heard him sobbing those same words over and over and over again. My God, I wish I'd been more careful. I wish I'd been more careful. Every single one of us here today is packing somebody's parachute. And someday they're going to take a jump. The kingdom of your influence extends far beyond, but includes your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. It extends to those around you. It extends to people you haven't even realized you have affected. And you're packing their chute. And one of these days, they're going to take a jump. But if you pack that chute safely, you've had a powerfully positive influence on them. You've lived your life by a good example. When they take the jump, they can make it. But if you and I have not done what we should have done, if we have not lived exemplary lives, then somebody might go to destruction. You can't walk away from this morning. You are influencing people by your lives, whether you like it or not. No man lives to himself. And no man dies to himself. Where do you begin? Say, Pastor, I've messed up. You know what? You can still have time to make it right. You can still have time to make it right. If you have not done this, the very first thing you need to do is receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And listen, don't let people here, don't let the people sitting next to you influence you into not making this decision. You decide for Christ today, no matter what the person says or does next to you. No matter how many eyes are going to be on you, you take the initiative today. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't let somebody influence you into going to hell or to making a wrong decision. It begins with receiving Christ. And then live your life in such a way that you realize you're packing the parachute for others who are going to be taking a jump. How many of you, by a raised hand, no, let's do this. How many of you have asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? Let's see you stand. Everybody, you've done that, let's see you stand this morning. Don't stand because everybody else is standing. Don't let them influence you that way. If you shouldn't stand, don't stand. But if you want to stand, if you have, then you stand. And if there's anybody still sitting there, I don't know if there is. You haven't decided for Christ, but today you're going to decide. You can stand with the rest of us. You're deciding for Christ today. You stand with the rest of us. those of you that are standing, would you say, Pastor, with God's help, with God's help, with God's grace, I'm going to try to have my influence be powerfully positive. Would you raise your hand to the Lord? You live by the motto, none of us lives to himself, and no man dieth to himself. I was blessed last week. Brian Ewing gave a testimony. Said a guy that he worked with at Walmart, just a young man, is going to college at Stout and asked him to come and hold a Bible study. That's influence. We influence people. We don't know when they're going to come back, but we've influenced them. It's the ripple effect. And God will bless it if we are faithful. Father, we thank you for those that are standing today. We thank you for those that have raised their hands. Lord, that they want their influence to be powerfully positive. Lord, I pray that you would make it happen. Lord, if there is any today that have not always lived that life and may have influenced others to do wrong, I pray, Lord, today that you would begin to restore the years that the cankerworm hath eaten. Lord, that from now on their influence would be more powerfully positive than it ever was negative. Grant that, Lord Jesus, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not even going to have a closing song today. I'm just going to invite you to go out and with your influence, pack some parachutes that others might jump safely. Lead as many people to Christ as you can. God bless you. You are dismissed.